This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself from the Crib, presented by Hyundai. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley, on the day before Friday. And it's the weekend. Can't wait to get out in these streets or get into my living room, I guess. All right, you're already in my living room. All right, we're going to head out to LeVar Arrington's crib in the first block, but later in the show, we're going to bring in Joel Klatt. We'll talk some NFL draft with the smartest man in college football. Right. Hunter Mahan, 6-time winner on the PGA Tour. He's going to join us to talk about Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady playing golf. That sounds exciting to me. We're going to let Hunter Mahan break that down. But first, let me wish everybody happy NFL draft day, or should we just call it happy NFL franchise quarterback, honey? Because all anybody wants to talk about is Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, and the hunt for the next franchise quarterback. But Hall of Famer Brett Favre had some very interesting comments about Joe Burrow, the Cincinnati Bengals, and taking a can't-miss quarterback at the top of the draft. Take a listen.
He's as close to a can't miss as you can possibly get, and that scares me a little bit. And I'm not knocking Joe Burrow at all, but a can't miss, I can't think of too many that have been home run hitters over the long haul, you know, in their pro career. Peyton Manning would be one.
All right, listen, the reason I bring all this up is because everybody's pretty much in agreement on who the best player is in this draft, who the real can't-miss prospect is in this draft. And it's Ohio State defensive end Chase Young. Let me break some news to people in Cincinnati and across the NFL. Chase Young and the Cincinnati Bengals both share Ohio as their home state. No different than Joe Burrow, who grew up in Athens, Ohio, a couple of hours away from Cincinnati. Chase Young is a home state hero, no different than Joe Burrow. And you have the added value of Chase Young might be better than the Bosa brothers, Joey and Nick, who have taken the NFL by storm, the two Ohio State defensive ends, the Bosa brothers. A lot of people, including our very own Joel Klatt, believe Chase Young's a better prospect than either one of the Bosa brothers. And hell, Nick Bosa just played in the Super Bowl as a rookie and was a big part of the San Francisco district. You know what's just as important as finding a franchise quarterback? Finding guys who can stop franchise quarterbacks. Chase Young is the surest thing in this NFL draft. He's going to be a superstar. His work ethic's unquestioned. His commitment to the game is unquestioned. The Cincinnati Bengals might live to regret not passing up on this Ohio State superstar, a home state hero, Chase Young, instead of Joe Burrow. And that's no knock on Joe Burrow, but Chase Young, the sure pick and definitely a devastating impact on the defense. I just think the Bengals are going to regret this. Marcellus, get us rolling here. Any chance do you think the Bengals regret passing up on Chase Young and taking Joe Burrow at the top of this draft?
No, I don't think they will regret it. You have to really look at all the factors, and it's not just the potential on the field production. And let's make sure we highlight the word potential for any draft choice, no matter how high or what position they play, because you still have to translate your game from the collegiate level to the pro level. Obviously, when you talk about Joe Burrow or Chase Young, you're thinking greatness when you see those guys at the NFL level over due time. But if you think about a hometown kid in Joe Burrow, that's obviously a big check mark in terms of he's a guy that you want to bring into the fold, not only because of what he can do on the field, being at the quarterback position, having the most impact on a team because they touch the ball every single play. But more importantly, he's going to be box office. He's going to be someone who brings an entertainment value. He's going to help your bottom line even before he helps your win column in terms of success. So I don't see how you look at Chase Young and say, you know what, I want him to actually be in priority over Joe Burrow when he plays defensive line. And I'm a former defensive lineman who used to scratch his head many a times in some of my greatest performances that we would lose, and some of my subpar performances we would win. And that got me started to thinking on how much impact do we really have at the defensive line position? And then I looked at last year's statistics, and three of the top five defensive linemen last year didn't even sniff the playoffs. I looked at the top five all-time pass rushers in NFL history. Only one has won a Super Bowl, Reggie White. So you start to do these things and extract from the numbers and realize that if you want to say a great quarterback, it's almost a given you're going to be a Super Bowl champion. You want to say a great defensive end, it is almost a given you won't be a Super Bowl champion. And I think Cincinnati is thinking correctly this way.
Wow. I mean, that's giving a whole lot of props to Cincinnati having the opportunity to win a Super Bowl. When's the last time that happened again? Oh, yeah, I'm going to wait on that.
Never
one,
again. Never.
Okay, right.
So, like the Chiefs had to wait 50 years? You mean like the Chiefs?
They had to wait 50 years. I mean, we could go throw Philly in there, I guess. I mean, the sun shines on a blind dog's tail once in its life. Let me tell y'all something right here, okay? This is like splitting tens in a blackjack game. All right, and let me tell you why. You don't split tens when you have a winning hand. To split tens is to be greedy, okay? You're thinking that you're going after Joe Burrow, a can't-miss prospect at the quarterback position when you have two tens right in front of your face with Chase Young, all right? When you do it, people are going to get up from the table. They're going to walk away. There are people sitting there watching this draft that won't say it, won't ever admit it, but to not take Chase Young and to take Joe Burrow when you already have Andy Dalton, all right? If you're telling me that Joe Burrow is going to come in and be a better quarterback in the next 2 to 3 years than what Andy Dalton is going to be in the next 2, 3 years, then maybe you have an argument. I don't buy it, okay? But you're not one, you're not two, you're not three, you're not four players away from being a competitive team in the National Football League to compete for a playoff spot, let alone a Super Bowl. Okay, so you take the best player available. You take your tens, the 20, right? You have 20 in your blackjack game. You take that 20 and you win. You don't try to split them and get two blackjacks, because you know what ends up happening? You get that one card, it's 13. You get that next card because you're doubling down on them, right? You get that next card, you get a 2, you got another 13, and then you end up losing both hands and you messed up the table for everybody else. That's what Cincinnati's doing, and that's why Cincinnati doesn't win games, and that's why they have 4 seasons. Look,
you almost had a hell of an argument, LeVar, but I'm going to shout out to Penn State fans and apologize on their behalf. 2 plus 10 is 12, not 13. But your blackjack analogy wasn't bad.
No, two tens player. But listen, two tens player equals 20. No. Two tens.
Don't trip. But you said you get a 2 and then it's 13. Quit, LeVar. Your Penn State degree just went down.
What's in that drink?
You're right. Good call.
Let me say this. Let me say this about Chase Young. Reggie White went to Green Bay, delivered a Super Bowl. Now I'm just. Lawrence Taylor, I don't know where he ranks on the sack list, but he's one of the greatest pass rushing forces ever. Built a defense around him, won 2 Super Bowls with the New York Giants. Listen, you can, to me, Chase Young is not Jadeveon Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney was talented, but people questioned his motor. People could question his commitment to the game. There are none of those questions about Chase Young. We've heard from the Bosa brothers in terms of, no, Chase Young approaches the game the way we do. Hell, he may even approach it more fiercely than we do in terms of being a student of the game. If you have a chance to get, and to me, he's not quite Reggie White, but he's the closest thing I've seen to Reggie White in terms of a guaranteed impact on a defense and on a team in an era where everybody's passing the ball and getting to the quarterback and harassing the quarterback, to me, is damn near as important as having a great quarterback. I just think there's too many variables. Joe Burrow, who I love and think he's a great player, but he had one great season in college football. I think, like what Brett Favre is saying, you're rolling the dice when you look for a can't miss at the quarterback position at the very top of the draft, Marcellus.
What a garbage team.
Man, you got me talking bad about my own, man. You got me talking bad about defense alignment in terms of impact. I could just take you through it pragmatically. First and 10. Oh, look at this. Chase Young around the corner, our sack. Oh, second and 14. Oh, my God, another sack. It's third and 23. Oh, completion, Joe Burrow, first down. Like, that's how it goes playing defensive end, man. You gonna name me Reggie White and LT. Don't let me go down the list of dudes who have not won a single Super Bowl. Let's start at the top with Bruce Smith, who was in four Super Bowls, never got over the hump. And you keep bringing up the Bosa brothers, who I love, who are tremendous talents. But Nick Bosa wasn't even the best pass rusher on his team last year. And Joey Bosa was at home chilling with me watching the playoffs. So the thing about this is you can't make this argument. This is about the effect that you have on a ball club. And is Joe Burrow head and shoulders above Andy Dalton right now? I would say no. But if the belief from 52 other guys is that you can take us farther in our imagination than Andy Dalton can in reality, then we have to roll those dice. And it's just the nature of the position. This is no slight to the individual talents. It's just what position do you play? And if you play quarterback at a B level, it beats D-line at an A level.
Marcellus, I love your passion and your approach to this discussion, but it is some of the most blasphemous stuff that I have ever heard in my entire life, bro. Like, you need to get up and walk away from the camera right now, because you cannot sit there and downplay and diminish the role of somebody who can get to the quarterback. The only person that's just as important as the quarterback is the person that can get to the quarterback and stop them from throwing those balls downfield. If you don't have a guy that can get to the quarterback and keep them from throwing the ball downfield, you're not going to have an opportunity to sit there and say, oh, you made it to third and 14 where he threw the ball and got a first down. You can't downplay that. If you can get to the quarterback, you have an opportunity to impact the game. If you can impact the game on every play, so you're trying to tell me you're going to diminish what J.J. Watt brings to the table, what Von Miller brought to the table, what Mike Strahan and O.C. Umanyiora brought to the table when they went and won the Super Bowl and they gave the MVP to the quarterback because of the arguments that you're putting out there? It is ridiculous to sit there and say that you can't compare a guy that can get to the quarterback versus the quarterback position itself. But I will say this. Chase, if you're listening and watching this game, be happy about this, because you know what? They're intending and expecting Joe Burrow to go number one, which means that they are expecting him to be a Hall of Fame quarterback on every throw of every game. If you were to go number one over Joe Burrow, then now the pressure is quadrupled for you to have to be a Hall of Famer on every single play. And I'm the only one sitting on this panel right now that could actually give you the insight of how that feels. It's not a great feeling to be a number two draft pick, Marcellus Wiley, and have the pressure of being a Hall of Famer on every single play. I'm going to drop the mic on that one. If you want to jump in on it, Mr. Whitlock, with your new haircut and your new hairstyle, you
no,
go right
no,
ahead.
No, oh, no, no. No, Whitlock, don't let me get this one.
You want it back?
Yeah.
You take
all
it back.
I'm going to say.
Take it back.
Look, I can keep this really simple for you. The top five quarterbacks all time in passer rating, four of them have Super Bowls. The top five pass rushers in NFL history, one of them have Super Bowls. All I'm going to tell you is, if you want to do your bad math Penn State style again on me and try to say that this is greater than this, go ahead. But the reality is, LeVar, you have more opportunity of impact. A great game for a D lineman is one sack a game, 16 in a year. Let a quarterback go through a season having one touchdown a game and see how long he plays.
We got to go. LeVar,
I'm going to tell you how good your argument was. I'm not even going to say nothing about your hairstyle and how ridiculous you look, particularly with me sitting up here with this crispy haircut. I'm not even going to touch that. All right, listen, Joe Klatt coming around the corner. We're going to get deeper into the NFL draft, talk about some of these other quarterback prospects. Joe Klatt looking very crispy. Speak for yourself from the crib, presented by Hyundai. More after this.
Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want what you're listening to be what you're listening to and not what your roommates, neighbors, children, or significant others are listening to. Everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. My own pair of Raycon earbuds are better and easier to use than anything else I've tried. They're comfortable and easy to set up and work seamlessly with all of my devices. Having a pair of wireless earbuds is a serious game changer for me. You already know Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and that they sound just as amazing as the other top audio brands you know. Their newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and a more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable, perfect for conference calls or binging podcasts. They're easy to set up and pair with your device. Seriously, they're a game changer. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet with no dangling wires or stems to distract anyone during video calls. You've heard me talk about how the company was co-founded by Ray J and celebrities like Snoop Dogg and J.R. Smith are obsessed with Raycons. Pick up a pair and see what the hype is all about. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/speak. That's buyraycon.com/speak for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/speak.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the crib. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. Speak for Yourself presented to you by Hyundai. Happy Thursday. Happy NFL draft day. And now we're going to go out to the smartest man in college football, our very own Joel Klatt. He's our expert on the NFL draft, certainly about the these quarterbacks. And let's start with the most intriguing one, maybe not the best one, but the most intriguing, Tua Tagovailoa. We had the conversation earlier in the week, Joel, about Tua and whether or not the Patriots might move up in the draft to get Tua. Should the Patriots, want to ask you, Joel, should the Patriots go out in the draft today and try to get Tua Tagovailoa?
It's interesting, right? And in particular, in light of I don't know if you guys saw a couple of weeks back, Daniel Jeremiah tweeted out a picture of an old Bill Belichick, basically scouting profile. And these are how you should scout each player. And when it talked about the quarterback, I saw basically decision-making as being the priority, right? And from my seat, Tua makes great decisions on the field. I mean, the ball goes to the proper spot. He's the type of guy that gets rid of it quickly. It's on time. It's on target. All of those things, yes. But there's also an element for the Patriots, and in particular Bill Belichick, that Tom Brady has provided, and that's reliability. He's been on the field, right? You're not going to go win Super Bowls if your starting quarterback misses multiple games every single year, and that's the problem with Tua. And then there's also this aspect of the way that the COVID crisis has affected each team's ability to get their hands on players and actually have their doctors look at these players. And here's where the relationship between Nick Saban and Bill Belichick is so important, because I believe that Belichick trusts Saban implicitly, and Saban is vouching for Tua, his health, his character, everything about him, his play on the field. And because of that, I don't think that this is out of the realm of possibility that the Patriots might get aggressive, in particular if Tua starts to slide. And that's something that I am starting to hear around the league, is that Miami and the LA Chargers may pass on Tua up there at the top of the draft. If he gets past six, watch out. Guys, that's where I think New England may get aggressive if they see some value there with Tua sliding down the draft.
I just don't think it makes sense for the New England Patriots. I love Tua. He's my favorite prospect at the quarterback position this year, and I think there's a little gap between him and the rest. But with that said, he doesn't fit the New England Patriots situation right now. They're cash strapped. They're against the cap. More importantly, when you talk about already having an investment on your roster by the name of Jarrett Stidham, let's see what he's made of. Let's see him go out there in public display, either succeed or die on his sword in terms of what he's going to be as a player. This is a guy who learned from Tom Brady versus now you draft a Tua. Who's he going to learn from, Brian Hoyer or Jarrett Stidham? Like, there's a whole different situation occurring in New England than in L.A. with the Chargers or in Miami. So this is a situation where you have to play the guy that you've already invested in, you're speaking highly of, and I'm familiar with that situation. When they let Bruce Smith go, I was this small school second rounder who just needed a chance. And I balled with my opportunity. Not saying how this is going to work out for those guys, but at least use the opportunity you have in front of you, which is get a return on your investment in Jarrett Stidham.
Listen, the Patriots believe, and particularly Bill Belichick, in competition. Obviously, they fell into Tom Brady, but when it became decision-making time, Bill Belichick moved on from Drew Bledsoe. I think he'll do the same thing here in turn. Put some competition out there for Jarrett Stidham. Go out and get a Tua Tagovailoa. Nothing wrong with that. All right, let's move on to the other, perhaps lesser-known quantity, but just as intriguing, Jordan Love, the quarterback out of Utah State. A lot of questions about, is he a project? How soon could he play? Joel, is Jordan Love worth a first-round pick as a potential project?
Borderline. And I think it has everything to do with the situation that your organization is in, because I do believe that he's going to have to sit behind an experienced starter and learn a little bit. There's two main concerns with Jordan Love. Number one, the interceptions he threw last year, 17 of them led the FBS. Number two is he's got some red flags, caution flags, if you will, off the field. He was cited for marijuana right before the bowl game. Now, I know it's not about the marijuana, right? And it's not about the drug program or this or that. It's just the fact that he made that decision and put himself in that position before a bowl game. So it's a decision-making off the field issue as much as anything. Those are the two things that teams are a little bit leery of right now. But rest assured, this dude is incredibly athletic. He's got all the tools in the toolbox. He's got a big arm. And if you go back a couple of years when he did have an offensive-minded coach in Matt Wells and a really good quarterback-centric offensive coordinator in David Yost, he played great football. Fast forward this year, lost his coach, lost his offensive coordinator. He was one of only two starters returning for Utah State. That's part of the reason why his numbers declined in almost every single category.
I like him. And if I'm listening to our own TJ Houshmandzadeh, who was telling us about this guy, Jordan Love, for many a month, you should love him in terms of what the comparisons are between him and Justin Herbert. Like, obviously, we know the physical specimen of Herbert, and more importantly, the bigger arm is obviously going to enamor most scouts. But according to TJ, and from some things you can see on film, in the pocket, the ability to go through your progressions, Jordan Love has that advantage over Justin, and more so the athletic ability is something that where he can make plays and he can extend plays and he can do it with his arm and he can do it with his legs. So this is a situation where you can get him into a top tier NFL team, and you get all of a sudden you get this project that is really a diamond in the rough in terms of being maximized with resources and coaches and weapons. So Jordan Love is something to fall in love with. I agree with TJ. He's something that's going to be special going forward.
I love him as a first-round flyer late, anywhere after 20, a good team that, look, even my Kansas City Chiefs, and they have an embarrassment of riches at quarterback with Patrick Mahomes, obviously. But why not? You can never have too many good quarterbacks. They may have trade value later on down the road. So, yeah, I think he's worth a first-round flyer. If this guy pans out, you got an asset that he can play for you in case of injury or someone you could trade and move on from. All right, let's keep it rolling, and let's move on to Jalen Hurts, who we had on the program earlier this week. And, Joel, I asked Jalen an interesting question. He's so well-known for being a high-character leader, and I'm wondering if the intangibles are overshadowing and making us unappreciative of his actual quarterback talents. Are the intangibles clouding our view of just how talented Jalen Hurts is?
I think that they might be clouding our view, right, from the outside in, but I don't think that they're clouding the view of decision makers in the NFL, because they see the talent, namely the ability to evade, right? Like, his athleticism is second to none, finished second in the Heisman Trophy voting, largely due to the fact that he was such a dangerous athlete running around. That doesn't mean that he doesn't throw the ball well. He throws it incredibly well. He does need to develop a little bit when it comes to anticipating windows and anticipating throws, and I think that that can potentially happen. Think about how many offensive coaches that this guy has had to play for, right? All those coordinators at Alabama that started running through there and getting extra jobs, then he moves completely to Oklahoma and has to play for Lincoln Riley. Some stability around offensive schematics would really help his development moving forward. I love his intangibles, but I also love his play. If you could get him in that third round, late third round, with a team like a Baltimore situation where you can put him in an offense where he can evade and escape a little bit, I think that he's got some real upside in this draft.
Of course they overshadow his actual talent. Even Joel just admitted it. He's going to go in the third, fourth round probably, when the guy was a Heisman hopeful and almost won the Heisman. So he should be higher than a third, fourth rounder at the quarterback position. But what happened is he got caught up in the machinery of, you see him at Alabama and people are like, oh, here we go, another Greg McElroy, and not giving him his full credit. And then he gets caught up in the machinery of Oklahoma and them producing so many great quarterbacks of late. Oh, he's just a product of the system, or just another system quarterback. He couldn't win for losing. And then more importantly, because he was such a great citizen, such a great man of character in how he dealt with being benched at Alabama, that played well in the real world, and that played horribly in the sports world, because someone wanted to see him act a fool, show that competitive spirit and that wildfire, that killer instinct, be Jordan-esque, whatever it is. Don't sit down on an opportunity to go out there and fight for yours. So I just think that he got caught up in, like you said, the intangibles getting lost based on his talent level.
Only thing I disagree with, I don't think it hurt him in the sports world. No one wants to see a quarterback act like a diva wide receiver. No one wants him to handle it like Dez Bryant. All right, Joel, we're going to get you out of here on this note. We're going to go back to the A block. You got about 30, 45 seconds. You think the Bengals will regret not taking the most talented person in this draft, Chase Young?
No, I don't think that they'll regret it. And this coming from a guy who, when he was a true freshman and the first time he stepped on the field against Maryland before his first sack in college football, I said he would be a top five pick when he eventually came out. I love Chase Young, but here's the bottom line. Defensive ends don't put points on the board, and their impact is largely felt once you have a lead. You've got to build that lead first. You do that via quarterback play. You protect that quarterback. Then and only then do you get after the quarterback in order to become a great team.
Joel, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Great job.
Hey, all right, Marcellus, he just took off. He hates that take. He hates it.
Before we go,
seriously,
which team will draft wide receiver Jerry Jeudy, who will be the first offensive lineman drafted? Download the Fox Bet Super 6 app and play NFL Draft Super 6 for free for a chance to win $10,000. All right, you're watching Speak for Yourself from the Crib, presented by Hyundai. More after this. We'll hear from Hunter Mahan from his crib. We'll talk some golf and Peyton Manning and Tiger Woods.
Talking about ED isn't easy. Usually, we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo. Or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work. Or, sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about it with a real doctor who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. ED used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/speak to get a free online visit and free two-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/speak for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/speak.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself. Today's big story is sponsored by KFC. Feed the whole family with KFC's $20 fill-up with all the fixings. Order online at KFC.com.
That's my dog!
All right, welcome back to Speak for Yourself. From the crib, Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. All right, time to go out to Dallas. And let's go out to a golfer, a six-time winner on the PGA Tour, a friend of mine over Twitter, Hunter Mahan. Thank you for joining us from your crib in Dallas. Interesting idea being floated about. Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning and Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady competing in a charity golf tournament to benefit, you know, coronavirus relief. I like this idea. I don't love it. And the reason I don't love it is because I think they need to add Wayne Gretzky and Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, and Michael Jordan. And then you have a must-see event, a can't-miss. Then I would love this idea. Hunter, what are your thoughts on this unique idea of Brady and Manning facing off in golf with Tiger and Phil?
Well, I love your idea, actually, more. I think it's absolutely a phenomenal idea. To see live golf, though, to see a live sporting event, to see guys of those guys' caliber talking back and forth. Hopefully we can get some insight on what made them great. It's going to be an amazing event if they can pull it off. It's obviously going to have a huge charity aspect. I think there's going to be plenty of people watching. I know I will be. So hopefully it benefits a ton of people. And hopefully we get to see a little bit of insight into what makes those guys so great.
Yeah, I love the idea, as is, and I even love Jason's idea, where you lean more into the fun than just the competition. We all can go back right to when Tiger and Phil had their first match. And golf is a tough sport to really sell everyone on the competition element just because of the mechanics. You never go against each other as much as you go after each other. So if it's a little looser, I think it's a better product to digest. And in a star sports world as we're in right now, it beats a game of horse and NBA 2K. So I'm looking forward to seeing this matchup.
Let me tell you where I think y'all are both wrong. If y'all think Tom Brady, Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning aren't going to compete and be into the competition, you can throw Phil in there as well. And then if you throw the other guys, if you throw Michael Jordan in there, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, the competition, I think, would actually be the star of this, not the fun. And yeah, do I want to hear these guys mic'd up and talking back and forth to each other, talking a little trash? But I think these guys, as much passion as there is from golf from any of these guys, and just the way Brady and Manning just compete all the time, I actually think the competition is going to drive this. I would be very interested in who wins and who performs well in this.
Well, I think it's sort of expectations. I think the last time we saw Tiger and Phil have their match, I think our expectations were that it was going to be super competitive, but it kind of fell flat because it was sort of just, you know, a made-for-TV event. But this could be I totally understand what you're saying, Jason. This would be super competitive if you had about four groups of guys going against each other, kind of going back and forth with the competitive nature of all of them. Like you said, with maybe another guy with a Jordan or with Gretzky. I think I do agree with you. The competition will be raised up another level. But I do like the aspect that we're going to take competitions a little bit, push it aside, and let these guys have some fun. And sort of enjoy themselves. because it is only two groups. I think you would raise the level of competition with four, but with just two and four guys out there playing, I think it is going to be a lot of fun. It is going to be competitive. Nobody in that group likes to lose. But I think the competition would be raised with another two groups and they're playing against one another.
Man, it's not going to be competitive. It's going to be competitive with a wink. Like, okay, we're trying to give everyone some entertainment and a little distance from their social distancing. But this is not going to be competitive. It's kind of like how when you watch baseball, it's a completely different thing what you feel when you're playing baseball versus if you're sitting back watching it. And I think that's what's going to happen and what's going to get lost here. So lean into the entertainment value of this. The first episode, they try to lean into the competitive element, and it fell flat. So let's not make the same mistake. I don't care what personalities, what level of competition you have in terms of namesake. When you get out there and this is just a made-for-TV event, pro-am style, it's hard to turn it up all the way to the full notch.
No, you're not going to see a full notch of Tiger and Phil, that's for sure. Like I said, that's why I think Whitlock's idea of having two more groups in there, I think would raise a little bit level of competition amongst each other. But I think this is a smarter way to go if you're going to do some sort of made-for-TV charity aspect, is having players from other sports come in and enjoy it. And I think for the fans, you're going to bring more fans from different sports and different aspects. Like, we haven't seen Peyton Manning in a long time. I'd love to see him for a few hours, talk about what he's doing, what he's maybe interested in doing. Tom Brady, we haven't really heard from since he's joined the Buccaneers. So I'm really looking forward to these guys talking and talking about maybe their new endeavors in different cities and different sports and different, and different entertainment kind of value.
Now, Hunter, I got to ask you this question. We have a mutual friend in Tony Romo, my former teammate. Obviously, he's an avid golfer, and if you know Romo, he's always talking about how good he is. Does his game make it on the PGA Tour? Could he be out there with you guys?
No. In a short answer, no. He is someone who loves the game more than almost anyone that I know. And like I said, he's not an avid golfer. He's a golf junkie. He absolutely loves it. He loves every second of it. I think he loves tinkering with the game. It keeps his competitive juices flowing. He's, as you know, Marcellus, he is competitive as anyone I've ever met. And he loves to go out on the golf course and play and compete with all the other guys. And he loves to measure himself against all the pros that he gets to play with.
Now, who,
all right, Hunter,
if it's not
this?
Romo, I just want to know who's the best golfer you've ever seen that's an athlete.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Hunter.
If he could have played earlier, Jason, I don't know. You can tell football is his first love. I mean, that he is passionate about football. He's poured his heart and soul into the game. If he did it at a younger age, maybe he could have. He's extremely talented. He's an extremely talented athlete. He's a heck of a basketball player, a golfer, a football player. There's not many things he can't do. But you never really know. Golf is a sport about, it's not doing it for one day and beating a pro. It's about doing it for 2, 3, 4 days and week after week. And that's the real challenge of being a professional golfer.
Hunter, thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully we'll see
Appreciate
you guys
you,
back in action sooner rather than later. All right, stick around. Lucky Brooks, our football professor, NFL professor, he's going to join us next from his crib. Does Tua have a higher ceiling than Joe Burrow? Speak for yourself from the crib more after this. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley, Speak for Yourself, presented to you by Hyundai. All right, time to keep it rolling and go out to Bucky Brooks' crib. Talk some more NFL, talk some more Tua Tagovailoa. Bucky, a huge proponent of Tua, and actually believes Tua has more upside than the Heisman Trophy winner, Joe Burrow, the guy that everyone expects to be the number one overall pick tonight. Marcellus, get us rolling. Is Bucky crazy here for thinking that Tua has more upside than Joe Burrow?
No, he's not crazy. He absolutely has a higher upside than Joe Burrow. He had a perfect college career, damn near. We're talking about Joe Burrow because he had a perfect season, forgetting the other 3 years and when he had to transfer schools and didn't have the greatest junior year at LSU. So there's still a conversation of, is Joe Burrow a one-hit wonder? And I don't believe that, but it's still a conversation. You can't have that conversation with Tua. If you look at Tua, every single pass is so beautifully placed. It's like a long handoff. And there's a big difference in quarterback ball placement. Some guys throw the ball where you can catch it. Well, Tua's so damn great, he throws the ball where you can't drop it. And that is the difference. The ball is exactly where he wants it to go. Absolutely correct. I'm with you. You're right. Tua has the higher upside.
You know, the thing about Tua is if you go all the way back prior to the season, the conversation was tank for Tua. And for the majority of the season, until maybe midway until he got hurt, Tua Tagovailoa was the guy that we universally celebrated as the number one quarterback in this class. When you look at his career, 87 touchdowns, only 11 interceptions. You look at the last 2 years in back-to-back seasons in 2018, 43 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. This season prior to his injury, 33 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. He's been consistent, and Marcellus will like this because I view him as a left-handed version of Drew Brees. He's quick, he's accurate, he's decisive, he has A-plus leadership skills. And for me, a franchise quarterback has to be someone that can elevate the play of those around him. Having been around him since he was a high school player, he has those traits. It's one of the reasons why I'm willing to go all in on Tua Tagovailoa being an outstanding player at the next level.
Guys, I was trying to get to my dictionary here to make sure that we all had a understanding of what a ceiling is. And so if you could just look up right now, you're in your home, that's a ceiling. And so I just want both of y'all to know that. And so in college, Joe Burrow got higher up than Tua Tagovailoa. In college, winning the Heisman Trophy, the greatest season we've ever seen from a college quarterback. He led his team start to finish to the national championship, won the Heisman Trophy, had the greatest season we've ever seen from a quarterback. That's, now maybe he didn't sustain the jump as high as Tua for sustaining, because Tua started more games and played at Alabama. But in terms of who jumped the highest, who had the highest vertical jump, whose ceiling got the highest, it was Joe Burrow. So maybe Tua's a better prospect, but it's hard to me, based on what they did in college, to argue Tua has a higher ceiling.
Oh, man. Look, let's be real about this. Apartment ceiling, where you at, Whitlock, right now, there's only one level. You get into these houses, we got 2 stories, 3 stories. There's different ceilings. You got to keep looking. There's another ceiling up there, and it's called Tua's ceiling. Tua had a higher passer efficiency rating this year than Joe Burrow, but he got injured and didn't qualify because of minimum starts. But he was even having a better year than Joe Burrow in Joe Burrow's perfect year. And don't act like Tua doesn't already have a championship himself. The guy had a better career and was having a better year than the guy who said he had a perfect season. So it's a different ceiling when you talk about Tua.
Yeah, I think it is a different ceiling. I think when you look at Tua and Tua's national championship, you have to remember, he came off the bench as a true freshman, not a red shirt. A true freshman delivers dimes in the championship game against Georgia to lead Alabama back. And everyone will talk about Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow is a fantastic prospect. But also understand, Joe Burrow is older than Lamar Jackson. Joe Burrow is a fifth-year player, an experienced player at the collegiate level, where there are some advantages that come with being an older player playing against college kids. And then when you think of the fact that he is a son of a college coach, his dad was a longtime defensive coordinator at Ohio. He certainly understands the game at a level that maybe some young quarterbacks don't. I do wonder, when he gets to the National Football League and he doesn't have this new system that Joe Brady sprung on the SEC, can he exist? Can he deliver? Can he be the guy that everyone is expecting? Because remember, when we envision a guy coming off the board, number one overall, we're thinking about him being a gold jacket guy, a Hall of Fame caliber guy, someone that when he walks in the room, you're saying, this is the best guy on the squad. I'm just not necessarily convinced that he has always been that throughout his career.
Woo. Listen, both of y'all made excellent points, and so I'm just nitpicking here. And so I'm going to nitpick this way. Did y'all just hear Buck? He's just trying to argue that coming off the bench as a freshman late in the
true
season
freshman
and winning the national championship, somehow that's better than being the starter day one, having the most incredible season we've ever seen from a quarterback, winning the Heisman Trophy and winning the national championship. Coming off the bench late in the season somehow equates to that. That's just me nitpicking. I get y'all's point because there are different levels, and now we're at the NFL level as opposed to the college level. I get y'all's point.
Hey, Will, look, I can't let you go off of this because I love you singing the praises of Joe Burrow, but I just want you to think about it in this context. Joe Burrow and Dwayne Haskins competed for a job at Ohio State. Dwayne Haskins won the job. They're trying to run Dwayne Haskins out of Washington right now. So I just want to add some context. It may not mean anything, but I'm saying the guy that we're celebrating as having the best season we've ever seen in college, he couldn't beat out Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State.
Blah, blah, blah.
I'm going to text you Urban Meyer's phone number so you can have that argument with him. I didn't make that decision. I wasn't involved with that decision. Take that up with Urban Meyer. That's a knock on him, not a knock on Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow showed you what he could do putting the right offense. But anyway, hey, great job, Bucky. Thank you. All right.
Great job, brother.
We're going to get to Uncle Jimmy. Give him a little more time. We've had some people complaining. We've been cutting Uncle Jimmy short. Oh, my God. And maybe we should. All right. Speak for yourself.
Man.
From the crib, presented by Hyundai. More after this. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley on the day before Friday and the day of the NFL draft. All right, time to roll out to Uncle Jimmy's crib. Uncle Jimmy.
Oh, man.
Do you have a big dummy of the day?
Oh, most definitely. Listen here. Big dummy of the day go to the person who bragged about their crispy haircut. How the hell you manage that and practice social distancing at the same time, homeboy? Talk to me.
Say it.
I went to a lot of expense. Bought my own clippers. Got all my own stuff. Got a mask. Got gloves. And then I had my barber come over and cut my hair. Needed it. All right. Do you have any thoughts
on Chase Young?
That was only from the front.
On Chase Young. And my take that Chase Young should be the number one pick in tonight's NFL draft. You have any thoughts on that?
Let me ask you a question. Is your name Flip-Flop or is your name Whitlock? Which one is it?
It's Whitlock.
I mean, let me get this right. We should take this virus seriously or I can't wait to get to Wally's. Which one is it? Is it Cam needs a haircut before the NFL takes him seriously? Or Chase Young is the best player in the draft, bar none? And damn the fact he looked like Brody Locks in a tube top. Now, which one you going to do? Flip-flop. Tell the people, which one is it?
Chase Young looks like who?
Brody Locks in a tube top.
Brody Locks.
I said it, you won't, I will.
They do flow. They flow.
I never pick a side and stick to it. Uncle Jimmy will do it.
What is going on with your hairstyle? You damn near as bad as LeVar's.
Hey, look here. Don't worry about it. Whatever I'm doing, I'm practicing, all right? It don't cost a damn to get the hell out of my nephew. It don't
cost a damn. First time we've ever done
Chase. You open up city.
Hey, what did you do?
I know Chase is a role player. Good job performance, but, you know, he did miss a couple of games. A role player. Marcellus a little higher on him than I am at an all-star, huh? You got him that high.
You trying to get him picked over number one overall, and then you got him as a role player? Like, that doesn't add up. Flip flop. Come on, flip flop. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's it for us. We'll see you on Friday.